Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he always offered more. Today, let me introduce my fellow Brieflies and our attendee. Sitting beside me and engineering the show is my friend, flight instructor, Vachon Airport Commissioner, VOV board member, West Texas Roughneck, and Eastern Montana band member, former Army Intelligence Specialist.
I see that.
And fellow treetop flyer and somebody who just had a big cramp in their leg.
Oh, man.
Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. Thank you. Man, just right before we went on the air, I got a major cramp in a hamstring. Oh, baby. I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do?
I told him the show must go on.
The show must go on. That's it's still hurting. Doggone it.
No.
All right.
Well, if you tip off your chair there, I'll spell you.
Don't do CPR, or at least don't give me mouth to mouth, whatever you do.
No fear there,
okay,
I'll tell you.
There you go.
Zooming in from his home is historian extraordinaire, skipper of the Vashona, president of the Vachon Heritage Museum, party animal. I say party animal because we've had a number of gatherings at or about our friend here, and our own globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Hallman. How you doing, Bruce?
You're muted. That's how you're doing.
None of us.
All right. I'm doing better now that I'm not muted.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's hope everyone agrees that's the case. I agree. Surprise, surprise, or surprise, surprise, zooming in from somewhere up in the Canadian Inland Passage is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group are assiduous. I changed the adjective there because I couldn't pronounce indefatigable or whatever. Our assiduous defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, gentlemen. It is great to have a chance to join you again.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear, 4x4. So good.
Let's hope to hear that. You never know about Marina Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you'll stay with us. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, former repo man, Pinkerton guardian of Pan Am's first 747, high fashion shoe salesman. That's the shoes, not me. tort and constitutional law professor, two-time Half-Bright scholar, and international arbitrator and mediator. And I could make some other stuff up, too, but I won't. And joining us today is Scott Harvey, an articulate island opponent of Proposition 1, the proposed Vachon Fire District levy lid lift. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing fantastic, Craig.
Good, good. I'm glad that you're joining us today. Before we jump into learning about the Vachon Fire District funding, let's take a moment to check in with everyone one more time about what special things you experienced this last week. Truman, let's start with you.
All right, so I'm back to the home improvement.
You're back in the home?
Yeah, that's where I belong, is back in the home. No, I've been telling you all about this home improvement stuff that I've been going through, right? So my last project was I replaced the faucet in the tub in my bathroom. Well, when I did that, you know, it has a gate valve that you can shut the water off for the house. Well, that valve was put in, I don't know, probably 50 years ago at least, and it was frozen.
It was seized up good.
It was seized, yeah. So I had to help it along, had to encourage it with a pipe wrench. And that worked.
Convince it.
I had to convince it. Yeah, and it worked fine. You know, I shut the water off. That worked great. It did all the job. I turned the water back on, and I had to help it a little opening as well. Well, I got about halfway open, and it started opening pretty easily. That's interesting. I went in to take a shower the next morning, and it was like, it hardly was putting out any water at all. And I thought, oh, no.
Oh, it had stripped
that
or something.
That gate valve broke halfway open.
Yeah.
Sure as heck, that's what happened. So yesterday, I have to commend these guys. They came right out. They came out, and they replaced that valve, had to tear the wall open to get to it. And I had to make about four trips out to the well house, 659 feet back there. But we got it done.
So, wow.
But that took until 6 o'clock last
That's
night to get all done.
That's what happens when you live in Abraham Lincoln's log cabin.
Exactly. Well, I've been living there ever since he built it, you know, so that's
right.
It.
How old is that house here?
It was 10 years old when I bought it, and I've been there 32 years. So,
okay. Yeah. You were 10 years old, did you say?
Yeah. No, yeah. The house was 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, that was my excitement for the week.
Well, that's plenty. That's too much excitement.
Exactly.
Bruce, whereabouts are you?
Bruce?
We know Bruce, where he's at. Where are you, Bruce?
I am sitting at KVI Beach looking at it. Actually, can see the mountain almost this morning. And I had an interesting Terry Donnelly, a photographer friend, and I get out and walk several mornings a week. And a lot of times we walk down at the new, Dunkton Forest, you know, so the old gravel pit area. And this morning, it was spectacular. I mean, when you walk with a photographer, you're always looking at the light and sort of hearing his comments about, oh, this is a great shot or whatever. And it was just incredible because there was not a ripple on the sound. It was like a mirror. Wow. And I mean, usually there's some kind of current line or some kind of wind line. It was just from Maury Island across to the mainland down into Commencement Bay. It was like a mirror this morning. It was very spectacular. And it only lasted, you know, 5-10 minutes. Within 10-15 minutes, all of a sudden, you know, I think the land started warming up, whatever. You started to see some wind currents. There was one single trawler, sort of some kind of pleasure boat going up the sound, and you could just see it cutting the wake, and the sun was off the wake.
Wow.
And you could see the spread of the wake as it made its way up the sound, and it was just one of those spectacular magic moments that Kevin gets to see all the time up in the Canadian San Juans, but we don't see that often here.
Wow.
So it was spectacular.
It's funny, on social media, there have been a lot of unbelievable photographs recently of the mountain.
In fact, Craig Bellis has posted a few sunsets that were just amazing.
Oh, I had that rift in the time-space continuum over the top of the Olympics. That kind of blew me away. And you're right, some of those moments only last for seconds. Mm-hmm. You have to sort of grab them. That's why we live here. You know, years ago, I had a boat like you, mm-hmm. Bruce, and Kevin, and Truman. Mm-hmm. And the my sister-in-law lives down a little, not far from the Oakland Bay, but she says to me, why do you own a boat? And I said, well, I live on an island surrounded by water, you know. That's why I have a boat. But other than that, I didn't know why I had a boat, so. Now I'm going to ask you, Kevin, where are you if you're going to reveal your location?
Well, we are in a popular location in the Gulf Islands in the town of Ganges.
Hmm.
And Ganges is sort of a magnet for the Gulf Islands boating community. There's a few other popular places, but Ganges has the restaurants and it has the walkabout town and the shops and the and so on and so on. So yeah, it's a pretty nice spot. If you are boating in the Canadian San Juans or it's Canadian Gulf Islands, sorry, you definitely want to stop into Ganges. But hey, I also had an experience with that flat water. A couple of days ago, we were in Annette Inlet and the basically the water was so still, it was like a mirror. And when you look towards the shore, you have a hard time telling where the water line is, because wow. you have to figure out where the mirror starts, right, between the reality and the water.
Wow.
But perhaps the most spectacular thing that we've seen over the last week is we were anchored just off Kufra Inlet on North Thetis Island, I believe. And the windows are open, it's fairly warm. And I hear this like gasping. And we've heard seals before barking and coming up for air, but this is like louder. And all of a sudden we look over and there's four orca that are coming down the side of Kufra Inlet. And we're tied up on the hook, is floating, and probably 50, 60 feet towards shore from us, they went through. Looked like a family of four.
Wow.
And so cool. It was very spectacular to see that we still, as we look out at that calm water, we only see what's above it for the most part.
Wow. That's fabulous. What an experience. Wow. Scott, Harvey. What have you been up to the last week?
The last week? Well, actually, truth be told, I've been preparing to come here.
That's oftentimes the case.
That's been a big situation here. But my family is coming over. For festival hasn't been visiting on the island for almost a year now, and bringing my 2-year-old granddaughter. And so it's going to be the first time to walk on the trails on our property. So I've been trying to get the place in order so that she can make it through there and not run into any nettles or stickers or whatever else involved here. So that's what I've been up to.
I keep you busy between the two of those things. Yeah. What have I been up to? Well, I went to the fireworks. I enjoyed that very much. Friends of ours had a boat out in the yacht harbor there. And we thoroughly enjoyed that. I had a little home repair myself. We've had electricians at the house for the last couple of days taking care of all sorts of things that start falling apart and wires that vibrate off of switches, and you wonder why that happened. And one of them was our jacuzzi wasn't working. So
a jacuzzi? What, you're going to come over and start?
Yeah, you never invited me to sit in your jacuzzi. In there and you're going to be in my jacuzzi?
I am naked.
Oh, God
right
forbid.
There. Yeah, there
get me some Clorox.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to be the one who gets to test it out. Put the water in there and turn it on and jump in there and see if I survive.
There you go.
That'll be interesting. But other than that, I had my morning scramble on Thursday. We did a whole show on horses. And I thought when my co-host Mike Nichols came up with the idea, I thought horses. There's a few songs about horses. I looked at there are thousands and thousands of songs to choose from that deal with horses in one way or another. So that was a good show. That's archived now. So what do you got in the background there? You've got an orca
flag.
Flag thing flying, don't you?
It's our flying orca. We take it in when the winds get up above 25, but otherwise it's happily sort of casting about on the breeze out there. But while you're talking about horses, what came to mind is, I've been through the desert on a,
right.
There are a lot of horse songs.
Yeah, that actually was one of the songs that was requested, and we did play that song.
There you go.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the fire district levy lift request. But wait a minute, before we do, I just wanted to indicate that the day is July 11th. It's the 192nd day of the year. There's 173 days that remain in 2023, and there are 3 days left before the commencement of the Vashon Strawberry Festival on July 14th. And the spectacular emceeing of the parade that will occur on July 15th by two Hanyaks that I know. That would be Truman O'Brien and Craig Bellis.
Indeed.
We'll be out in front of the downtown studio here for the Voice of Vashon.
Does our listeners need to know what Hanyaks are, actually?
Well, what is a Hanyak? You know, there's
a
technical
perspective maybe from knowing you guys.
Well, you get a good idea, don't you?
If you know us, you know what Hanyaks are.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
That's right. The On this day in 1804, Aaron Burr fatally shot Alexander Hamilton in a duel as a result of disparaging remarks Hamilton allegedly made at a dinner party. An historical fact that I think would probably make a good play. And maybe even a good rap musical. Who'd have thunk?
Who'd have thunk?
You know?
Maybe we should bring it back.
Yeah.
These days, sort of confrontational politics, it may be a solution.
There you go. Duels is duels, what you're talking about, isn't it?
Bring back the duels. That's right.
I agree.
In 1914, George Herman Babe Ruth played in his first Major League Baseball game for what? For who?
Who knows?
Boston Red Sox. Boston, that's right. Oh, you have a cheat sheet there, yes, Bruce. Indeed. Or you probably
I knew that even before the cheat
you
sheet.
You knew that. I bet you did.
The trade of the century, as they say, right?
That's right. That's right.
The Red Sox curse.
Yes, yes. In 1921, former President of the United States William Howard Taft is sworn in as the 10th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, becoming the only person ever to hold both offices. And when he was sworn in as a Chief Justice, he said, "Now I hold a powerful position," which, as we found out recently, is the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court, again, that's why voting counts. In 1962, the Rolling Stones performed their first show, and they were not billed as the Rolling Stones. They were billed as the Rolling Stones at a club in London. And finally, and most importantly, perhaps, today is National Cow Appreciation Day. So go out there and appreciate a cow.
And I do. I really like cows. You know, I was raised on a farm and a ranch, and I really like
cows. My daughter
cows.
Loves cows. We'd go on these cross-country trips, and she'd yell, "Cows, cows."
Yeah, they're great.
All right, now we will move on to the serious part of the show. This has to do with the Vashon Fire District levee lid lift. Our guest today is Islander Scott Harvey. He's a vocal opponent of the proposed levee increase and a member of Islanders for Vashon Safety. Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome, first of all, again. And tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to Vashon.
Thanks, Craig, for having me on today. Before retiring and leaving the water tax behind, I worked for 40 years helping 2,000 small businesses, including several in Vashon, access more than $500 million. As a result of my service to the small business community, the U.S. Small Business Administration recognized me as its national financial services advocate. I still remain the only banker in the Northwest ever to be so recognized.
Wow.
While on Vashon, I have served on the Park District Board, the Ferry Advisory Committee, the Westside Water Board, and volunteered for many local nonprofits. I was lucky to discover Vashon 30 years ago while checking out a geodesic dome home when Emma Amiad helped me find my forever home and escape California.
You know, as somebody said to a friend of mine, maybe you should do some volunteer work on the island.
Yeah, right. I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, you got an arm-long list of volunteer work that you've been engaged in. The homepage of Islanders for Vashon Safety states, and I quote, "We support Vashon Island Fire and Rescue. However, we have formed a citizen committee to oppose Proposition 1 on your August ballot. Since the levee lift will not improve safety, while it punishes our most vulnerable, the elderly, low-income earners, and people of color." Just to sort of set the stage, tell us what the proposed levy means in terms of cost to Islanders. If it were to pass, how much would it cost the average or the median property owner on Vashon?
Well, as a result of the reduced assessed values, a person with a property value of $811,000, which would be what's the estimated median price on the island, would expect to see about $175 a year increase in year one of the levy lift, and that increases to $236 a year in year six. Of course, this is an expense that would be passed through to most renters.
Okay, that's interesting. So the first year, typically, for a home that was valued or appraised at $811,000, the first year somebody's increase in taxes, if you will, would be how much?
$175.
And what would it be in, what could it be in the sixth year?
In the sixth year, it'd be, if the levies increase at the rate that the fire district expected them to increase by, it's projected to be $236 a year for just, that same property.
Just clarification.
Go ahead.
So the one thing that I don't understand about this this particular vote is the 6% guarantee. Now, as I understand it, as property values increase, the actual dollar amount that the fire district gets does not increase. It increases ordinarily by 1%. But with this 6% that we're voting in, will the dollar amount increase by 6% then instead of 1%?
That's correct. I mean, that's what they, unless they're up against the 150 cap. So over the last 6 years, that's happened one time where the amount would have taken it above the 150 and it did not increase by 6%.
That's because property values actually dropped over that time.
Yes.
So actually what happens is as the property values increase, I mean, when we vote on the levy, that dollar amount becomes fixed. So let's say that we vote on it and it's $100. Next year, it can't go over $106 because I'm using that number because of the 6%. But if the property values increased, say they doubled, for example, that levy increase would not double. It would still only go up by 6%.
That's
the
correct.
Dollar value.
Right. But since the assessed values are going down this year, mm-hmm. Since we all know what's happened historically on the island here, the likelihood that it would go up 6% a year for the next 6 years is pretty likely based upon the decrease right now.
But that's 6% of the original amount that we voted on.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, getting back to this the specifics of the Proposition 1, you ask people on the street, what do you think about this? And a lot of people aren't that informed, and that's why they're listening in today. You'll hear individuals say, the taxes, I don't want to pay any more taxes. You hear other people say, well, this is a no-brainer. We need to have more people protecting us on the island because of global warming, there's more chances of fires, etc. What about staffing? Don't we need more firefighters and EMTs to keep Vashon safe?
Well, not really, Craig. The numbers don't actually support that idea. The Vashon Island Fire and Rescue Strategic Plan Survey indicated it already is doing an outstanding job, with 77% of islanders who have used Vashon Fire and Rescue services during the last 5 years rating the service they received as excellent. According to the most recent census, the island population only increased by 4% from 2010 to 2020. Overall, calls during 2022 were only 2% higher than the most recent 8-year average, while EMS calls during the past 4 years actually were 14% less than the previous 4 years. I haven't figured that one out quite right. Despite these flat or decreasing terms, just this month, Vashon Fire and Rescue increased the number of budgeted first responders by 56% from 13 to 20. This was after the levy already had increased by 130% during the past 6 years. The levy lift supporters have focused on simultaneous calls and the need for more first responders. Craig, how many first responders do you think the island actually will receive if the levy passes?
I don't know.
Well, the island currently is served by 5 firefighters, EMTs, and 2 paramedics per shift, with assistance from 3 command staff and 15 to 17 volunteers as needed. The levy lift only adds 1 first responder per shift. Even after the assessment reduction, the levy lift is expected to increase taxes by $11 million over 6 years, while providing less than $2 million for increased staffing.
So I have a question about that.
Yeah.
As the population ages, which we already are on Vashon.
Speak for yourself.
Would you not expect the call rate to go up because of the aging population?
I would have thought so too, but I mean, given our historical situation, our calls haven't been going up, And just to put things in perspective, right now onward sub, Central Whidbey Island Fire Station District is about to do a levee lift. Now, they're doing levee lift because since their last levee lift, their calls had gone up 50%. Well, wow. That makes a lot of sense. You want to have more people. But if our calls are only going up 2%, they're flat. So therefore, we have plenty of funding to take care of it. And we just increased our staff by 50%. I think they can handle it.
All right, one more question.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I in the last couple of years had the opportunity to use the emergency services. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I noticed, well, first of all, there was excellent service. They responded right away. They were like 5 minutes out. It was pretty impressive. But I actually had a ride into town. But because I was not dying, they took me across the ferry where we were met by a local EMS company. And I was transferred into their emergency vehicle and taken on to the hospital. That way our local staff could come right back to the island. So is that a normal procedure?
They do it occasionally, and that's one of the reasons I had an issue with what's being asked for here, is they do not do it every time. So therefore, I'm thinking that would should be a call that they can make here. Now, the off-island ambulances sometimes are not available, and that would be fine. But again, they'll never figure out whether they're available unless they make the call.
Right. Until they get over there, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. To look at this whole problem, just so that we understand, we're talking about more than firefighting. We're talking about emergency responses overall, aren't we? And aren't emergency responses on the island significantly dependent on the resources of the Vashon Fire District?
Oh, absolutely. No, that's all we have is Vashon Fire and Rescue, and they do an outstanding job. But as I mentioned previously here, it's only the calls over the last 8 years have, the calls for 2022 were only 2% above the 8-year average. And we've just increased the staff by over 50%. I would say that that's a tremendous response to a very small increase. We don't need to add even more on top of that. And that's what the levee lift would do.
But we do need to add some, don't we?
We just did.
In the next 6 years, we will probably need to add some more, will we not?
It's possibly. I don't know. I mean, again, we have the 56% that we just got. I think that's a pretty dramatic increase here. It should be able to handle what we got. And then if the calls go up, and that's the whole situation, the calls haven't gone up, and we've already increased the staff to get out in front, as we mentioned about the increasing aging and such. So therefore, I would say that they've already been proactive, and we don't need this levee lift for that.
Okay. In some of your materials, be it the organization that you're associated with, or just some of the things that you've said in public or in the Beachcomber, there's been talk about the use of volunteers. Do you think there's a need for more volunteers?
Well, I think, yes, I would say so. In other words, I'm disappointed that they're not advertising for them year-round. 2023 will be the first year they've had in many years where no fire academy has been scheduled. I would think you can never have too many volunteers. In other words, especially with the aging situation here. So I think we ought to be going to get as many money as we can.
Bruce, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Scott, I was wondering, if the levy does not pass, will the existing levy provisions continue the 6% every year, or will it totally go away? What happens if the levy doesn't pass?
If the levy doesn't pass, then the fire district is limited to 1% increase per year. Now, keep in mind, and I'll be getting to this a little bit later too here, 2023, we put in, at the current level, we're putting in $700,000 into the reserve after hiring 7 new first responders here. So we'll be able to increase it by 1%, which would be another $50,000 next year if the levy failed. And I would say that with that $700,000 cushion plus the $50,000, we're in pretty good shape as far as increased expenses.
So Craig brought up an important question. These levy votes come up every 6 years. If we don't do anything this year, can we do anything before 6 years, or are we stuck with that 6 year interval? Or can we float another?
Excuse me, I should not have interrupted. I apologize, Truman, but actually what you have is it's a mistake as far as the levy lift coming up every 6 years. A levy lift is something that they vote on whenever they want to vote on it here. The previous levy lift was actually 33 years ago. So therefore, if this levy lift were to fail, they could come back next year with possibly a better levy lift, or more importantly, I would argue that the majority of this levy lift goes toward fixed assets and should have a bond going there instead. But they're welcome to come back next year.
So you're telling me that we have not voted on a levy lift for 30 years? 33 years?
The last levy lift was 6 years ago. Before that was 33 years ago, or 27 years before the last levy lift.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So with regards to staffing and disaster response readiness, you're basically saying that voting no isn't going to handicap that at really, there's no need for.
That's correct. As Edwards, basically with the amount of money that we have already in place here and the reserves we have, there'll be plenty of money, income and reserves to address our disaster response readiness, which I think is continuing to improve. And Vashon Be Prepared does a fantastic job, and we're very lucky to have all those people help us.
Well, let's drill down on that a little bit in terms of specifics. So talk about the Burton Fire Department. Won't voting no mean that the Burton Fire Station will have to close, and then that may result in higher insurance rates for people who are living south of Burton on Vashon and Maury Island?
Well, first of all, since it's too far from the Burton Station, all the home insurance rates for Maury Island will increase even if the levy passes. On the other hand, Burton Staffing Management is a management decision that has nothing to do with the levy. Before the 7 first responders were added this month, Vashon was served by 13 first responders, 3 firefighters EMTs during 3 shifts, and 4 firefighters EMTs during a single shift. To staff Burton, Vashon Fire Rescue only has to move 1 of its original 13 first responders 4 miles south to Burton to join the 7 new hires. This would result in 3 firefighters EMTs at the main station during all shift, as was already the case 75% of the time, and the required 2 first responders for Burton, with no levy funds needed.
Just so that I'm clear on this, I see 3 options. Maybe I'm wrong here. Burton can be, what, fully staffed or staffed with people who actually are working out of that office. There are people who, I think, do people stay overnight in the Burton Fire Department?
Not at this time. There's no place for them to stay down there. And so in order to staff the Burton station there, the plan is to put a portable trailer in there. For some reason, the fire district had last year a home in Burton, and they sold it. And now they are coming back and saying they're going to have to put in a trailer to take care of things.
Oh, okay. So the options really are that there's nobody down there, or there's somebody who's living out of a trailer or something to that effect.
Right.
And they're only talking about adding 1 person?
No, they're going to be adding only 1 person for this levy. What happens here is they're going to take 1 of the 7 new hires and put it down with that 1 new person. Even though Burton will have 2 people there, whereas after the first of the year, it will only get 1 from this levy.
Okay. Bruce, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I had a question, Scott, in terms of can you position this levy lift in terms of the other levies, Park District, the other sort of groups on the island?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to help do that, Bruce.
Give us a sense of how that all plays out.
Well, first thing, those other 2 levies do come up regularly. Now, with the Park District, if the Park District levy fails, there is no Park District. And so that's a really big deal. With the School District, if the school district levy fails, then the schools are going to get less money and they're going to have to cut programs because we our vote helps them provide programs. But with the fire district, well, the bottom line is if even if there was no levy lift, the fire district would get the same amount of money plus 1%. And that's because the fire district is associated with safety. So therefore, the way the legislature is set up there is that voters aren't at the situation where they can actually vote to be less safe. So they get the same amount of money every year plus the 1%. Did I answer your question, Bruce?
Yeah, so but in part, but also isn't there a cap on the amount that can be taxed? And I mean, I know that was an issue for the last park district levy.
Well, that is, I'm sorry.
Talk us through that a little bit so we understand if this levy did pass, would it impinge on the ability of school district and park district and, you know, water district, whatever, to increase their levies?
Well, it wouldn't hurt the school district. They're a senior levy here. However, it's very likely that the exemption that the park district, excuse me, when the exemption for the park district levy expires, the legislature gave us a special one because it had already been negatively impacted by the increase in the fire district. So when that comes off, with the fire district continuing to increase it, it's highly likely that this excess money would impact the park district and reduce services.
So what we're talking about here is the $5.90 cap.
Correct. Correct. There's a $5.90 overall with cap, and underneath that is a $1.50 for the fire district.
Right. So what you're saying though is that this increase will affect that $5.90 cap?
Not initially, but based upon what they're talking about and where things are coming with other levies here, probably in years 3, 4, 5 onwards, we probably would see that. And I've had a discussion briefly with Elaine Ott at the Park District, and she was agreed that she thought it would negatively affect the Park District in the future.
Right, because the Park District comes in, for you folks who aren't familiar with it, they come at the bottom of the list.
Actually, we're ahead of the Cemetery District, I think.
No, we're not.
Okay. I guess I was mistaken.
We're after the Cemetery District,
okay.
Too. Yeah.
Yep.
Believe me, I was amazed at that, but that is true. So basically, you have the hospital, or now the healthcare district, the Park District, the Cemetery, and the fire. And there's also roads, I think, that are part of the roads are included in that $5.90 cap. So what we're saying here is if you increase something upstream of one of those, like the Park District, it will reduce the amount that they can have over that $5.90 cap. In other words, if all of the other votes come up to $5.70, that would mean the Park District would only get 20 cents, which is not the case, but that's how that works. So.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's always been, people are always confused about that.
Oh, yeah.
About how that works. Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing that up, Bruce. Hopefully some of that made sense.
Yeah, I know it's confusing as everything. Another question I have is about equipment. So what's the story on the equipment involved there?
Well, Truman, onwards, having obsolete or unreliable onwards vehicles place lives and property at risk, and that's part of what's going on right now. This is an unacceptable situation that existed 6 years ago when we approved the last levy lift and still remains today. However, it could be addressed immediately with no need for a levy lift. While I may not be an expert on fire department operations, I am an expert on when to finance equipment and construction financing. This is important since more than 60% of the proposed levy lift was being allocated for capital investment. The fact is, the current Vashon Fire and Rescue model of saving to pay cash for vehicles has endangered Islanders depending on these unreliable vehicles. At the same time, it's just bad business. The cost of equipment and construction continues to increase at a faster rate than overall inflation. So even with the added cost of interest expense, the island loses money every day it wastes to lock in permanent financing for its needs. Vashon Fire and Rescue should use some of its fleet reserve as a down payment and replace all of its questionable vehicles. It then should return to the voters with a bond request to make the needed improvements to the main station and Burton.
So what you're saying is that if we don't vote for this, they're going to have to finance their equipment rather than purchasing it outright. Is that correct? And if we don't vote for this, that some point in the future, they're going to have to float a bond in order to pay for that. What is the cost of that bond going to be, and how does that compare to the levy lift?
Well, let me back up for a second, because you're talking about two different things here.
Indeed.
The financing for the equipment, as I did some research here, the Washington State has a local program specifically for vehicles. Can be school buses or whatever else involved here. If you go to their site, you'd actually find a picture of a fire engine over in Bellevue that was financed there. The most recent financing for that was only 2.55% fixed for 10 years, which is an incredible rate and much below inflation here. So what would happen here is this year and the last few years, the fire district has been putting away $250,000 a year into a reserve account to try to buy things for cash here. That just coincidentally would have been the amount that would be needed to make the payments on a nearly $3 million loan that would finance all the obsolete and questionable equipment right now here. So therefore, with no levy lift, they could use their regular operating money to finance all the equipment they need immediately. As far as the bond is concerned here, I do not know the exact cost onwards of the payments involved with that here. But the important thing here is that bonds are for structures are financed over 20 years. And therefore, just by extension, the annual cost to the taxpayers for the bond would definitely be less than trying to save up the money and pay cash for buildings or improvements.
Okay, so the response to the supporters' argument that we have the oldest fleet of vehicles is that there are other ways of replacing those vehicles. It doesn't require 100% financing from ground zero, because there's a reserve that they have that would cover a good portion of the financing that is available at really favorable rates from the state.
They already have over $1 million on hand just for the vehicles. So they could put $600,000 of that down on these new vehicles that I just discussed and still have a $400,000 reserve for whatever they need.
Okay. Wait. Kevin, yes.
Yeah, thanks. Just one clarification on the financing. Scott, I assume that those rates are now on the upswing due to Fed monetary policy. Is that correct?
It could be. I was actually, I'll be very shocked, Kevin, the 2.5% was at a time that was just in February of this year. And so therefore because they have the state behind it as a and their AAA bond rating, whatever else, they get this incredibly good rates along that line here. But in any event, as I mentioned previously, the cost of both vehicles and construction is going up much faster than any interest rate is here. So it really is bad business, it's not to finance those fixed assets here.
I see. So that could be some good consideration for the department. I did have some other questions because I think from my perspective, I think we're talking about trends and managing risks. And you mentioned earlier that the fire department has already increased staffing by 50%. In your assessment, did that fill a staffing gap, or did that basically anticipate future needs? I'm curious, you know, if you look back more than just a year or two, were they woefully understaffed and now we finally caught up?
Well, I think it's a combination in the fact that the fire department had much overtime. The firefighters were getting burned out. Where they needed to have some additional support in that regard here. And this big increase addressed that. And then at the same time, added some additional capacity going forward.
Got it. Okay. Another, so thank you for that. Cause I think these trends, you know, we helpful, I think, to look over a long period of time to see where they're headed. You also mentioned a 14% decrease in emergency response calls. Is that just, you know, what's happened over the last decade with emergency response calls on the island?
Well, the emergency response calls have remained relatively constant over the last decade, but they decreased, and I would be the first to say that at least part of it was the pandemic. It seems like it would be counterintuitive here, but it looks like people were just taking better care of themselves during the pandemic and didn't make as many as calls here. But in any event, they did decrease by 14%. But the important thing, they weren't increasing. And so therefore, and since we've already added this additional staff, I think we have things well in hand.
Okay. And so, yeah, I haven't had a cold for 4 years. Amazing. Yeah. Hey, one other thing that I did want to mention, Scott, what do you say to people who are concerned about climate change? And certainly this year is an example of the increased potential for fire danger due to a warming climate. Do you think that we have things well in hand, or is that something that we might also want to consider that additional service support is needed?
I would say that again, I was really worried this 4th of July. It was really way too hot, and I was concerned about fires on the island, and I think a lot of people are. But of course, when I moved here 30 years ago, I was used to being in Southern California forests where they were burning all the time here, and I was always concerned because I have 6 acres of forest on my property. So I'm always worried about fires. But I think that the fire department does a fantastic job of handling what we've had on the island. We have a good background as far as volunteers are concerned. But most importantly, which I think is really important to focus on as far as this levee lift is concerned, is this levee lift really isn't about support. It's really about fixed assets. We're only going to get one more first responder per shift. Is that going to make a material difference? I don't think so. In other words, what the money, the vast majority of this money is going for is for equipment and buildings and things that should be financed in other ways involved here. So I think it's just a poorly written request. I think if they could come back with a more reasonable request, then we would all be better off for it.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, my purpose here, I think our joint purpose is to make sure that our listeners have sort of a balanced understanding of what goes into this decision. But thanks for the clarification about the number of staff. But I do think, as you say, coupled with improving the current vehicles, right, making sure that we, excuse me for the airplane noise, mm-hmm. We're just right outside an active runway here on the
no, cool.
Waterfront runway. So you just heard one of the planes coming in. Truman and Craig, I'm sure, is like, hey, what kind of plane is that?
Yeah, you like that.
So I think just, you know, when we give all considerations, you know, the equipment, the personnel, and the motivation, I think is all key elements of how our fire service can really protect us. So I just want to make sure that our listeners, you know, consider all those factors in some combination. But thanks for helping to illuminate some of the facts.
So I have a question, and that is the folks that are promoting the levy are saying that we're going to be looking at increases in fire insurance premium if this levy fails. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I would... I think as I said before here, it's just a management decision. It's just a management decision in the fact that with the addition of the 7 new first responders, now that we have 20, and for clarification, we only have 18. In other words, there are 2 open spaces which an offer is outstanding, but we are budgeted and we'll have 20 words first responders with those divided up between 5 people per shift, 3 at the main station and 2 down in Burton, there should be no reason for insurance to be increased in the Burton area. But keep in mind, Maury's going to go up regardless because they're not going to be staffing Burton, docked in anytime soon.
So one of the things that they say, the pro folks, they're saying that the official fire risk rating board knows about these staffing challenges. And if the levy fails, they're going to downgrade their risk management rating. So I'm just curious about why these folks are thinking that that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, if we don't put anybody in Burton, insurance would go up here. So I agree 100% with the yes people that if nobody goes in Burton, that the insurance would go up. The difference is there's no reason for the levy lift isn't needed to put people in Burton. That's their mistake.
Okay.
Anything else there, Truman?
No, I'm looking here.
Okay. But, all right. In your materials, Scott, the Islanders for Vashon Safety, you contend that voting yes for Proposition 1 would be a very bad investment for our community. What do you mean by that?
Well, according to the original Vashon Fire and Rescue Strategic Plan, the levy lift would have increased taxes by 68% during the next 6 years, while only increasing first responder staffing by 20%. Now, capital expenses should be funded with bonds, not levies. That's because bonds are fixed expenses that are retired over time and the expense ends, while levies continue to increase and never end. More importantly, if you truly support affordable housing and equity, you will know the levy lift is a bad investment. This unnecessary tax increase will hurt the elderly, people of color, and our island low-income workers the most. As we all know, these three demographic groups bring historical perspective to the island and help keep Vashon weird. Increased property taxes are the largest burden for island seniors on fixed incomes who have spent decades retiring their home mortgages only to be driven from their lifelong homes by taxes. At the same time, the island is full of renters who can barely afford their current rent. An extra expense of $200 or $300 a year is a big deal for all these groups. Every day, these groups struggle to survive with less. None of their incomes have increased by over 100% during the past 6 years. How much better than excellent does our community need from its fire and rescue service? Are we so selfish about a nominal increase in our safety that we would punish our most vulnerable neighbors?
Interesting. So when you say it's a bad investment, you mean bad investment in many different respects.
Correct.
Just from a pure banker's standpoint, in the sense of investing in capital improvements, equipment and whatnot, the way it's being done, and more in terms of an island-wide demographic, cultural standpoint, it's a bad investment for various groups of individuals who bear the brunt. That's not all of your argument, but that's a good part of it, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Let me close out here and ask you if people want to find out more about your position, the vote no position, how can they do that?
If you'd like more information on why this levy lift is a bad idea, please check out vashonsafety.org. That is vashonsafety.org.
Okay. And I just want to indicate, for those of you who are listening, if friends ask you about the show, it will be archived and available on the voiceofvashon.org website so that they can listen to it as well, as will be next week's show, which will have the supporters of the levy. Are there any other questions from the Brieflys before I ask Scott if there's anything else he wants to share with us? Scott, anything else in closing?
Well, 6 years ago, Vashon Fire and Rescue was in dire straits with only $678,000 in the bank. We stepped up with a massive levy lift that addressed the issue. As a result, just 5 years later, at the end of 2022, Vashon Fire and Rescue cash balances had ballooned to $6.7 million, with $700,000 added to the reserve in 2023 after hiring 7 career firefighters, EMTs. This levy lift is a bad idea. The reality is the levy lift is not about adding first responders to handle simultaneous calls. During the next 6 years, Vashon Fire and Rescue would collect an extra $11 million and the island would only get one first responder per shift. There already is plenty of income for continued operations. Vashon Fire and Rescue should be smart and float a bond for all of its construction needs. Please tell Vashon Fire and Rescue to send us a reasonable financing request by voting no when your ballots are delivered to you this week.
Scott, thank you very much for that. Hopefully that helps to clarify some of the issues, especially from the vantage point of the vote no contingency. I think you've addressed basically all the major issues that your organization has.
Well, thank
you. Good. You're welcome to stay around. We've only got about 5 or 6 more minutes. And typically we resolve all the issues in the world in those last five minutes. Before I do that, I do want to mention one thing. This is a shameless plug for the Voice of Vashon. We are selling raffle tickets. This is our big summer raffle for a shopping spree at Thriftway. 3 minutes of racing around with multiple carts and spotters and whatnot. People typically pull in over $2,000 worth of groceries and things at Thriftway. You can find our ticket salespeople in front of Thriftway on the weekends, and they'll be roaming around with sandwich boards and whatnot during the festival. So please, we have mostly volunteers here, but we have lots of expenses.
And $20, man. $20 goes a long ways here.
Plus, the odds are much better than the lotto.
Way better than the lotto.
Because there are other prizes, too.
Indeed.
There are cash prizes.
I think there are, five $50 prizes.
Yep. And who couldn't use $50?
You bet, exactly.
So with that, I did want to just touch upon and ask you all, what you think of President Biden's decision to send cluster bombs to Ukraine and the U.S. opposition to Ukraine's entering NATO at this time. Anybody want to jump in on either one of those?
Oh, you know I'm going to get in on that.
Okay.
The cluster bomb is a very interesting apparatus. It is extremely personnel effective. I mean, it takes out large numbers of personnel. The bad news is all of the munitions do not explode when they hit.
Duds.
And they are duds. And that doesn't mean they can't explode. It just means that they don't explode at the time. So consequently, you end up with a field of mines, basically, that have to be cleared. And they're extremely dangerous. So from that standpoint, they're not a very effective. But
and they are banned by most European countries.
They are.
But they aren't by the United States, Ukraine, and Russia.
Correct. In fact, Russia has used them already in Ukraine. But like I say, they're very, very effective anti-personnel. But they're not effective for safety of the local population.
Kevin?
So. I would like to say it would be great if the U.S. had joined the countries who have not approved cluster bombs or have outlawed cluster bombs, but that's not the situation we're in, of course, right now. I guess I would summarize by saying desperate times call for desperate measures. And I don't know if it's the United States' right to decide what poses the most appropriate risk management versus addressing an existential threat of the people of Ukraine.
Sure.
So I guess I will trust that those decision makers in Ukraine are balancing the risk versus the survival chances, and their choice of use of cluster bombs. I will have to leave that in their good hands. But obviously, it'd be nice not to have any kind of munitions, but that's not the world we live in.
Bruce, you want to dip in here?
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. I mean, as General Sherman said, war is hell. And it's just, war is will in a war, people will do whatever they need to do to try and win or to keep from losing. And that's the problem with war. It becomes no end potential to the possible escalations. And so, and Kevin's right, I'm personally opposed to cluster bombs, but am I to make a decision for the people of the Ukraine? Or are they supposed to make that decision? And that's what this war is all about. Is Russia going to make decisions for Ukrainians, or are Ukrainians going to make decisions for Ukrainians?
It seems to me it's a very difficult choice. Everybody, I think, agrees on that. The generals, or retired generals, if you will, in the United States have said they're in the middle of a gunfight over there, and they're out of ammunition, at least temporarily. I guess we're ramping up to more traditional, and if there is such a thing, acceptable forms of ammunition. But at the same time, it does bother me. We seem to be able to rationalize anything. And that part of it is the part that of course, is tearing me apart. So with that, I think we're coming to a close for Truman, for Bruce, Kevin, Scott, and me, Craig. We hope you will join us next Tuesday for the next edition of the Brown Briefly, when we will be talking with Dr. Jim Bristow, a vocal supporter of the Levy Lift, a.k.a. Proposition 1. With that, I thank you all.